Yeah. My scripture reading is in John chapter 10 and starting at the 22nd verse. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple of the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe me because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's, out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming'? Because I said, 'I am the Son of God.' If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "While John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." Many believed in him there. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed holy Sabbath. We thank you for this season of the year when we celebrate the days of Hanukkah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light that came into the world through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for these occasions in which prayers were made to you for circumstances that men were under. And you heard and you answered. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have you to call on in all circumstances of our life. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the rest of this service and the thoughts that we bring, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask all these things, and amen. And my text is the verse 22 and 23 of John 10. Let's read it again. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple of the portico of Solomon. And this is also known not only as Hanukkah, but the feast or festivity of dedication. It's true that Yeshua both knew of this festival and was recorded at the temple at the time of its observance, as we read my text in John 10, 22, and 23. The time is winter. The 25th day of the month Kislev. Shepherds are not out in their fields, not out tending their flocks. Winter is not a good time for travel, as December is often cold and rainy, just as it sometimes is here. The harvesting of the crops has been completed, and money, typically because of that, was available for taxes to be assessed and collected. And of course, at this time of the year, our Bible lets us know that that's part of what the Romans were thinking about. And these people that we're occupying their land, these Jewish people have worked hard, taken in their crops, have money. Now let's tax them and take some of that money. And so that's part of what was going on at this time of the year. There are many reasons to believe that this is the time of the year of Jesus' conception. That is, this is the time of the year that Mary first became with child, with Jesus Christ. If we speak of the eight days of celebration, festival of Hanukkah, we can take that particular time period, that 25th day of Kislev, right where we are right now, and we can go forward in time from right now. Of course, it's been mentioned that this celebration of Hanukkah varies a little bit because it's on the lunar cycle. Just as our festivals, other festivals in the year, Passover and all the others, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles, all of it varies because it is on the lunar cycle. So if we go forward from this time of the year, 9 months or 280 days, we come to the Festival of Tabernacles. And what are you doing at Tabernacles? You're on the outside. You're celebrating. You have the booths, the temporary dwelling places that are set up. So 9 months later than this time marks most likely Jesus' birth, contrary to what may be believed or taught. So you know that Tabernacles is also the time, generally speaking, about the time of Jesus' birth. And what else is known about Tabernacles is that this is the time that the Son of God came to dwell among men. Remember reading that in your Bible? Could the Father have used the winter solstice to mark the very conception of His Son? The winter solstice. The prophesied Messiah that was to come. Could the Father have used this winter solstice, the particular day, to mark the conception of His Son coming into this world. It is a scientific fact that the winter solstice marks the end of the shortening winter days and the lengthening winter nights. The winter solstice, that's what it does, scientific fact. Also, darkness is decreasing and light, you've heard that word mentioned several times in regard to this particular time of the year and this festival of Hanukkah. Light. And light at this exact time of the year begins to increase. Could it be that Jesus' conception happened exactly as light overtook darkness? Jesus said several things about light in regard to himself. He said, I am the light. Hanukkah means, in the Hebrew language, Hanukkah means dedication. Hanukkah is known as the festival of dedication. It is also known as the festival of lights. So you see how it's been mentioned before. Lights is very prominent with this festival, this time of the year. Oil is, because of its implications, both of their implications and use. This festival of Hanukkah, festival of dedication, festival of lights, is not among the noted festivals of God in Leviticus 23. When you go to Leviticus 23 and you read about the yearly Sabbath, you read about Passover, you read about the Day of Atonement, the Tabernacles, all the rest, you won't find Hanukkah mentioned there or Festival of Dedication or Festival of Lights. It is not among those in Leviticus 23. However, you might think, well, then it must not be biblical. Well, as Kevin mentioned, it is very much biblical. And of course, my scripture reading, you heard me tell you, Jesus was at the temple at the Festival of Dedication. So that's in the New Testament. It is biblical. It is there, even though it's not in the Leviticus 23, where the other noted festivals are. Also, that's not the only place. It's also mentioned in the Old Testament. So where? It is prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 8, 21 through 25. It speaks of that festival coming in to being by the circumstances in history that happened. Jesus was at the temple at this festival. The history of Hanukkah goes back to the year 167 BCE. The nation of Greece, and I think probably all of you have heard of Greece being mentioned within the last year or so in regard to the economy and so-called having to be bailed out because of debt and so forth. It's the same Greece we're talking about now. And Hanukkah has its start in 167 years approximately before Christ. Greece had become the world center and the world dominant power under Alexander the Great. I know most of you heard of Alexander the Great. Well, he brought Greece to the top of the power at that particular time in the year and in the history. Alexander seemed to have unified the ancient world into one common government. Now you see, that's interesting to start talking about someone over 2,000 years ago that was bringing, seemed like, one world government and other customs. He seemed to have unified the ancient world into one common government and culture, and it was called Hellenism. This was what was spoken of that came about through Alexander the Great and Greece becoming, being a world power. And after Alexander the Great's untimely death, his four generals then under him split up, divided the empire. And from that, Antiochus the Fourth took control over Judea, the whole area of Jerusalem, all in where the tribes of Israel, the Jewish people were. Antiochus took control over Judea and sought to force the superior, and I use this because they thought they were, Greece people and the Greeks thought they were superior over all other people of the world. So they sought to force the superior Greek way of life and values on all people around them at that time. They wanted their language to be dominant. They wanted their art. They wanted their religion, all to be forced on all people of what was then the ancient world. However, there was a significant number of traditional Jews that did not convert to Hellenism. And this became very quickly a thorn in the side, these Jewish rebels that did not accept what Antiochus was trying to bring to him. It was a thorn in his side very quickly. And an ultimatum was given. Either the Jewish community must give up its distinctive customs of Shabbat, kosher laws, circumcision, and so on. All of the traditional customs of the Jewish people. They were to be forced to give it up, along with others that I haven't mentioned, or die. You either do it or die. The general Antiochus brought this to him. Antiochus went into Jerusalem and he took over the city and he desecrated the holy temple. He desecrated the altars, the utensils that were used in the service of the temple, even the golden menorah or lampstand were all defiled or simply tore down. But this was just the beginning. Antiochus also ordered that a pig be sacrificed on the holy altar, and erected an image of the Greek god Zeus as the new point of worship in the temple. Antiochus himself insisted on being called Epiphanes, which means God. God open to you. In other words, I am God. God manifest. It was enough to repulse any religious Jew. The Jewish community soon came up with an appropriate reflection of their feelings on this. Instead of calling him Antiochus Epiphanes, they made a play on words and called him Epiphanes, which interpreted as crazy man. This was their response to him wanting to be known as God brought to you. This brutal attack on the Jewish people and their faith would not go unanswered for long. The murmurings of revolt were heard in Judea and were crystallized in a small village called Modin. Syrian troops entered this town to force their assimilation policy, that Greek policy, Hellenism. The soldiers planned to erect a temporary altar to the false gods and force the populace to participate in their religious ceremony, the highlight of which was the eating of the flesh of swine. You can imagine how the Jewish people took this. But living in this village was an old godly priest named Mattathias and his five sons. When the Seleucid soldiers chose him to lead the pagan ceremony, Mattathias and his sons reacted with holy indignation. Enough was enough, and they killed the soldiers and started a revolt against the oppressors. And one of the sons was named Judah. He rose to leadership and was nicknamed Maccabee, which means the hammer. Overwhelmingly outnumbered and undersupplied, the armies of the Maccabees turned to more creative devices. And naturally, they lived in that area all of their life. They knew the ins and outs. They knew the knowledge of the hill country. And they started to employ guerrilla warfare. The Jewish forces met with surprising success, spurred on by their firm conviction that the God of Israel was true and faithful. The Maccabees proved that the impossible could happen. In the Hebrew month Kislev, around December, they drove out the Syrians and recaptured the temple in Jerusalem. They faced the sober task of restoring the temple to the true worship of God. The temple compound was in shambles, desecrated by the idolatry of the Syrians. The Maccabees and their followers quickly cleansed the altars and restored the holy furnishings. Of particular importance to them was the broken menorah, symbolizing the light of God. They restored it and attempted to light it, but there was a problem. Jewish tradition recounts that as they searched for some of the specially prepared oil, they found only enough to burn for one day. The priests knew it would take at least 8 days for new oil to be produced. So what should we do? They decided it was better to go ahead and light the menorah anyway. At least the light of God would shine forth immediately. To their amazement, the oil burned not only for one day, but for 8 days until additional oil was available. And so you see the result of the 8-day celebration of the festival of Hanukkah. The temple was restored and rededicated to the glory of God of Israel, and an 8-day festival was established, and it became called Hanukkah, Hebrew for dedication. Every year, starting on the 25th of Kislev, the Jewish community recalls the twofold miracle: the miracle of the oil, as well as the miraculous military victory of the Maccabees over Antiochus and the Greeks. I would like to conclude and close by letting you know how a little bit of the celebration that the Jewish people do at this time of the year during that 8 days of Hanukkah. On the first day of Hanukkah, they take the Hanukkah, is that how you pronounce that? The Hanukkah, which is like a menorah. It has a center candle and 4 candles on one side and 4 on the other. On the first night, with a candle in the Hanukkah, the person takes the center candle and he lights from the left 1 candle. The center candle is lit first. The shamash, right? Okay, well, I know what what I read in this book said that the candles were placed in the Hanukkah from the right side. When the candles were placed in the candle holder, they were placed in the right side to the left. And yet when they were lit, they were lit from the left to the right. So that's just the book that I read. So I don't pretend to know near as much as Kevin and his wife about these kind of things. I just went by the book that I read of Hanukkah.
We get confused too.
Huh?
We get confused too.
Right. But anyway, I'm glad Kevin shed that light about the Hanukkah, not only the pronunciation of it, but the other facts that went along with it. I had not read that in the book, and it was very interesting to know that it was a special lamp holder, very different, from the menorah. So anyway, on the first night, the shamash, the center candle, is lit, and the person would light the first candle, 1 candle on the left, immediate left. That would be the first night, and of course, blessings would be said. There were food to be ate, a celebration. And so that's sort of what went on the first night. Then each night after that, going from left to right, then the second night, the shamash center candle was lit, and then the first 2 from the left. And then the next night, shamash, first 3, all the way over through the whole 8 days. So I'd like to you to know that this is how the celebration, some of the things, we don't know that we have every little detail right in it, but this is part of the things that the people that celebrate Hanukkah, this is what they do on each night of the eight nights that celebrated at Hanukkah. I would like for us now to go to our blessing and read our blessing to each other. And this is in number 6 and starting at the 24th verse. Let's stand, everybody, and read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Amen. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day that we celebrate as a church. We celebrate Hanukkah.